John 9. Before I do that, let me just talk about what I've been studying for a minute. I'm not going to get into it in any degree tonight, but it'll come at an appropriate place when we're studying. We're not going to study the stars tonight for another reason, but and that is, what is the essence of language? Believe it or not, language is directly related to the stars and to the signs of the zodiac in a very peculiar way. All ancient languages had 25 letters in their alphabet, and they all had 7 vowels. They all started with A, B, C, or its equivalent, and ended with S, T, U. And their relationship to the signs of the zodiac caused me to begin to wonder about these, and I've always been fascinated with language. How is it that a particular sound that is made with the vocal cords can affect, even as perverted as it is today, responses and phenomena to take place in people that hear it? And how can the same word said with different inflections, why does that cause responses that are predictable? Mm-hmm. And what was it when what was the word or words that were spoken by the Father to cause the universe to come into existence? And what does it mean when the scriptures say that we can call forth that which doesn't exist and make it exist? And what does it mean when whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father in heaven? And the whole concept of language in its ancient form and its relationship to the Tower of Babel, and what are all these phenomena that have taken place in us? And it's extremely subtle, because we think in language. And therefore, to think about these things from outside yourself, without the bias of the actual process of the thought, is probably extremely simple, but because of how perverted we, our minds have become, it's massively difficult. And
to think of something without the
without the bias of the language.
Louis and I were talking about this morning, and a couple questions came up in my mind that probably have nothing to do with anything, but it seems that in moments of revelation, words fail. I mean, or words aren't necessary or something. And also, it seems that language implies time. And outside of time, is there something other than language?
Why does language imply time?
Because the only way you can hear it is the fact that a sound is being produced. A sounds only exist in time. I mean, it requires a passage of time to hear that language.
It's like music is time.
Spoken language requires time.
No. Now we're getting down to why. After the fall of, after the Tower of Babel had fallen, and after Abraham had been called out and passed through the testing, he was given the ineffable, I can't ever pronounce that word.
Ineffable
name, the name which the only time it could be spoken was in the day of Yom Kippur. And that's what I'm talking about. We our thoughts about language automatically imply passage of time. I mean, even when we think about it, but pure language isn't. pure language has no time constraint.
What do you mean, pure language?
Yeah.
Go to Genesis 11. See, I told you I wasn't going to talk about this.
Good thing.
Good thing you're not going to talk about this shit. Genesis
11. Now, Genesis 12. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. This is right after the flood. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Okay. They journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now, that one scripture, just as an aside, proves that the land of Shinar is the land of Babylon, the ancient Babylon, where the Tigris and Euphrates met in the surrounding area. They journeyed from the east to get to that point. Therefore, it proves that the mountain on which the ark was setting couldn't be Ararat, because Ararat, of what they now call Ararat, Ararat is in Turkey, so they'd have to journey from the west to get to Shinar.
And they're trying to find the ark on the wrong mountain then.
Right.
That's wild that this one simple thing that's so plain, seems so plain, that they wouldn't see that, you know.
Well, because they don't know the scriptures.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
Let's go looking for the ark.
Anyway, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.
You think Shem was involved in it?
Well, he was in the outskirts, obviously.
In verse 4, what does it mean, let us make us a name?
Be fake.
No. It means, the essence of it is, and it's in the opposition to what the name of Christ is. The let us make us a name is let us conform ourselves to the image of God.
Oh, okay.
Versus that which proceeded from the Father is in the image of God, and you don't masquerade as an angel of light conforming yourself to that. You let him conform you to it.
Recognize what's already there.
But the point I want to make here is that they, the whole earth, was of one language and of one speech. And what was that language?
English.
Hebrew.
French.
And then down in verse 5, verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language.
One mind?
But, again, I just want to give you something to look forward to in terms of your own thinking about it, that you're not intended, after the flesh, to be in agreement. It's impossible.
Yeah.
The only thing after the flesh you can be in agreement about is repentance. Mm-hmm. Taking no thought for your life. Then it's him, it's his power, his strength, which is evidenced. And you must understand this with regard even to the scriptures. And this is really what it means when in the Psalms of Ascent, where I said, I am not going to exercise myself in things too high for me. Because what you're doing then is you're exercising yourself. The child position, the obedient child position is, at the time appointed, you will know, you will see. So the antagonism between your inordinate curiosity and your desires to have revelation, which isn't really have revelation, it's that it's really back here to this point, that you would, you want to make for yourself a name. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you do that by language, the language of thought. So all I'm doing is trying to get you to to get a glimpse of the idea that when you think about these things, when you think about spiritual matters, you have to keep in mind that you will be apprehended rather than you apprehending. Okay? Because you trying to apprehend is you trying to work. It's just working with regard to the mind or your imaginations. That's all your imaginations are, is work. Capisce?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a big deal, folks. This isn't a little thing. This is a big deal.
Is this
what does that have to do with language? I mean,
because you think and imagine in language.
Yeah, I agree. Does that mean that we will be apprehended by something that is without words? I mean, something that's not, that transcends.
Well, the process, the only way I know about this is that I can only talk to you about the process that happens in me and happened in me. There is nothing that I have ever known with regard to spiritual apprehension that I didn't know first and then search the scriptures to prove or see. I didn't apprehend anything from searching the scriptures.
That's what you mean when you say you look for loopholes and have been for such a long time.
Right. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand? Most of you and most of the world, when they open this book or any other book, you're trying to apprehend something. No, that's good. You got it?
No. I mean, what I see is, you know, thinking in English, that's a limitation. Because there are many words that
language is a limitation.
Okay, but all I know is English, okay. So that's what I'm thinking. It's a limitation, but I'm trying to tie it into...
It's not only a limitation, it's the nature of the beast to try and to establish your own name.
Like
your own rightness.
Oh, it's like sometimes when you get the feeling, if you have something really neat happen to you and you're trying to describe it to someone, it starts to get cheap.
Well, that's a part of it.
You know, I don't know, that happens to me. If I'm trying to describe something really well, it starts to sound cheap and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I remember when the office was on Wellborn. That's the street it was on, right?
No.
Yeah. And we came in one day and you said that you'd had a dream the night before and it was just a bizarre dream and every question that you could possibly had had answered the dream. You remember that? Maybe you've had more than one of those, but... That's what this reminded me of.
Yeah.
Well, this is what we were getting at this morning, and it's what I was trying to say when I said that in Revelation, words fail. I mean, it isn't in words, and it can't really be put into words.
Well, that's what you're trying
They're
to
not say. Necessary. But
No, they are necessary. They're necessary so that the revelation is tested. So that the revelation is communicated in terms of the need to cause the hearer to repent.
Okay, I understand that, but
okay.
Let me finish the thought. That, yeah, we think in language, and it's this incessant brain chatter and imaginations and all these other things. And all I could think about this morning when we were talking was this thing about be still and know that I'm God. That if this language, if this internal language, if this internal talking is silenced, that what is there is God, what's revealed is God. But it isn't in English sentences. Or he isn't contained in English sentences.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't the problem here at Babel, I mean, the problem isn't the fact that they all speak English. Isn't the problem the fact that they are of one mind?
Yeah. The problem is that they can communicate.
Right. If you and I, we are of one mind. We're of the mind of Christ, but we don't know it, and therefore it's not manifest. If it is manifest between you and I, then do we need words?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not talking about something that...
I'm not talking about ESP.
Mind reading or anything like that. I'm talking about the purpose of language is to prove the revelation, not vice versa. Language is vital. But it's just like everything else. Language has been perverted, just like the stars have been perverted, just like language is now. Language, I'll give you this hint. Language originally had but one function, and that is to show forth the coming one.
So instead of having...
No. The stars had but one purpose, and that's to show forth the coming one. The pyramid had but one purpose, that's to show forth the coming one. The Torah had but one purpose, and that's to show forth the coming one. Language had but one purpose, that's to show forth the coming one. Now, coming doesn't mean passage of time, that means parousa, the presence of one, or his presence, his essence.
Was that purpose changed at Babel?
Well, it was probably perverted long before then. It was changed at the fall.
How was it changed?
Well, I don't want to get into that. Just trust me on that one for a minute. I don't want to... Now...
It's like we use language to shoot.
Times like these.
It's like language to describe.
Go to Psalm 2.
Times like these. I just
shut up. Hey, man.
I know better.
Like, even trying to
give it up.
No, what I'm trying to do, what I want to do in this context is to cause you to distrust both your language and your thought processes which use language. But you must repent from those also.
It's like, it's tied into imaginations and the fact that we speak and think, I mean, orally, it's like describing something. Instead of an image, it's still another way to paint a picture of something.
Well, instead of that which is, we say that which is to be.
Mm-hmm. Chew on that for a while.
It's like, it's almost like, oh yeah, and then he says something else. What?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Now, he's not talking about heathen in terms of somebody else. He's talking about heathen.
Us?
Everybody.
Us heathen.
Well, everybody else.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, and that doesn't mean like King Edward V or something, it means you. Because you are the king of your own temple. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. It's not, don't externalize this. This is you.
Don't any reason why saying is in italics?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay. What is casting away their cords mean? I don't understand that.
It's like describing bondage, you know, like somehow we're...
You're trying to set yourself free.
Yeah, okay. Doing it yourself.
Okay. That's just that.
You're trying to avoid that which is your lot. You're trying to imagine a vain thing.
Okay.
You do it constantly, even in your negative imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
The
he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Holy, the things that are described in 8 through 9, those have happened, haven't they?
Yeah.
So like Babel is a type of that?
Mm-hmm. Babel is a metaphor for what is going on inside.
It's the very thoughts.
Yeah. Remember all these things, the board of elders, all these things are going on in you. You can't externalize them. Don't historicize them.
I want to ask you something about what we talked about, bringing into
captivity
all thoughts. What's the way the verse goes?
They'll cast out imaginations in every high place that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Meaning, realizing that all thoughts are from the Father.
That's right.
That's so cool. You know, because I'm writing a letter to my friend, and I'm still thinking I'm not going to send this letter because it's just full of, you know,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going, what am I writing this for? I might as well just write him and say, weather's fine, Matt. But instead, I'm like dangling my friendship with this guy, you know, over the alligator's mouth or something. But I was going to, you know, that was like the next thing I was going to write was what that meant. And I was surprised to remember that.
You know. Amen. Okay, now, let's go to Galatians 1.
And judging not the earth, that means judging our circumstances or anything, right?
And this is the earth. Galatians 1.
Are we ever going to go back to John 9?
Mm-hmm. But you can find it. You don't have to keep your finger there.
Oh, but you don't know these.
You really? He has so much faith.
Galatians 9?
1.
John 9.
Everybody got Galatians 1? First, it's Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians.
General.
This is before Ephesians. Oh, got it.
Let me read the... And we're going to study down farther, but I'm going to read starting verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you. And that could easily be synagogues, by the way, or, you know, I mean, it's not a... There were the 10-20 deal, right? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That took a lot of guts. I mean, people say that all the time. But Paul is speaking in the name of God and Christ. Now it's become a cliche, but think of what it means.
He's speaking for God. Jews,
he's speaking for God and for Christ, and himself is speaking it. Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, so be it. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another or different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, in other words, you don't have to worry about it. Where it says preach or spirit, you mean that's not somebody that calls himself a preacher. That's minds, thoughts, that's, you know, that's somebody talking to you. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I want you to notice something. He's first of all saying that which is preached has been preached, spoken unto you, right? It's number one. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man or any preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received. Now, the received in the Greek tense means it's that which has always been there.
Mm-hmm. Pure truth.
The seed of Christ.
Okay? So it's just, he repeated it so that it's the spoken word conforms to the essence. Okay.
In 7, what does he mean, which is not another?
Well, it means there is no other, but they're perverting the real one.
Okay.
That you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? That's the test. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Not to please man in any way. We talked about that so often. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, or by me, or from me, is not after or according to man. It's not delivered, it's not from any human source. I mean, no human being would be stupid enough to tell you what I tell you.
Yeah, that reminded me of the first time I heard you on the radio, and what you had said was about evil hearts and talking about that. And that's what appealed to me, is that it hit what was already knew, because I already knew I had an evil heart. Everybody was telling me I didn't have an evil heart,
right,
that I had a good heart now, and it was, you know, I knew it.
Okay. But you understand. You understand that it's not from man. That's a pretty heavy thing to say. That nothing, and I can say it with him, nothing I have ever told you was ever learned by me from men.
Amen.
Now, and you will be the same thing. It doesn't matter whether I've taught you. Because I haven't taught you, all I've done is to break your idols.
That's for sure.
Okay?
Always demolition service.
For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that position never, ever changes.
So it's a matter of the source. Can be expressed in language.
Right, but it's the source that it's the one and it's the essence of the Bible. One is the source of the Father, where his own right arm has gotten him the victory. and the other is the source of man, where they are trying to establish for themselves a name. And it's done in the totality of sincerity.
Mm-hmm. And if it's taught by men, then it's subject to entropy.
Yeah, but it's also evil, beyond evil. It's from the depths of hell. Because they're trying to establish for themselves a name. Okay, what I'm trying to tell you and tie this in is that language is the instrument of it, and God has so destroyed your little Tower of Babel internally that it's impossible for you to have agreement over time with any other man or woman.
Which is why we have the definition we have of fellowship.
Right.
The definition of fellowship?
As you walk in the light as he is in the light, and I walk in the light, then we have fellowship one with another.
Yeah, and the only light there is the fire from the altar.
Mm-hmm. And it's the sustenance that you're eating, that his flesh instead of one another's flesh.
Right.
I get this imagery of us like weenies hot off the grill. You know, that's the only way we have fellowship. You know?
Okay, do you understand that?
Okay, now.
Now,
the weenie analogy.
On the grill.
I don't remember that.
The language, these words you've learned from man, though, and we're hearing them with the words. We're hearing they have effect on us that we've learned.
Right, predictable effect.
Like cliches, I mean.
But that's why that the test is so severe. Because everything, all the imagery, every word that you have learned has with it and it's been taught by man, a corresponding image. Even little innocuous words like and of and thee, I mean, they all have a corresponding image that's engraven on your subconscious or conscious mind. Now, I'm here to tell you that every graven image on your mind is an enemy of faith. The Ten Commandments, I mean, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Well, when you see the magnitude of what, and those images are engraven with different depths of the pen. And the pen, believe it or not, is a chemical pen. It's hormones. I mean, we've talked about epinephrine and the depth of those. Well, all of them are enemies of faith. That's why the blood of Christ must empty the conscience from dead works so that you might serve the living God. So therefore, that's why time is so... I mean, we think we've been doing this for a long time because some of us have been doing it for 10 years. But look at, you know, Moses spent 40 years... Abraham spent 60 jillion years. Don't worry about it. We're on a pathway, and the time constraint is his business.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason we don't immediately fall down and die every night that we're here, every time we speak. That's what gets in the way of the mystery of God, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, if it weren't for those, we'd fall down on the floor and die.
Okay, let's go to John 9 now. And first to John 8, verse 41.
Oh, I got something. You're talking about language, how trying to get free. I remember a couple of years ago, I used to be writing a lot of letters at that time. And I remember writing these really long letters, and I remember writing once, what I'm trying to find is a freeing spell. So I was in my writing, a freeing spell.
It's a great, great use of a phrase. Okay.
explain it to me later, buddy.
Yeah, I missed it too.
What spell?
John 8, 31 or 41?
John 8, verse 41.
Okay.
You do the deeds of your father. Well, let me go back up. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father.
It's night and day.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, continue. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust or desires of your father you will to do. In other words, he's saying, you will do is not the right word. It's you will to do. That's why abandonment is necessary, because all a human race can do is do the lusts of their father. Now, you got to understand this, or you'll simply continue to go on trying to put... You'll never understand the cross, let me put it that way. And he's talking to Jew. By the way, go back to verse 31. This whole scenario takes place to, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's talking to quote-unquote Christians, yeah. His congregation. He's talking to the choir.
He's preaching to the choir.
What does he say?
Okay. Why do you not understand my speech in verse 43? Even because you cannot hear...
Distinction between speech
word.
And word.
Huh?
Why the distinction between speech and word?
Well,
it's like when he says these have ears to hear. I mean, they could hear, like, Arlie, this stuff going on, but they don't hear with understanding.
Yeah, it's back to Shema. I mean, hear his message, hear his doctrine.
Can't hear what I'm saying because you can't hear the doctrine.
You can't hear, no, you don't understand my words because you can't hear the doctrine. Okay?
They don't see their luster of their father.
Right. They don't admit that.
They don't know their father.
So therefore they can't repent. Therefore they can have no circumcision of the ear.
They're thinking, well, you know, I'm trying to
right.
be good.
Right.
I'm sincere. And,
right.
Figure this out.
Right. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts or desires of your father you will to do. That's the proper translation of that. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, which should be, when he speaketh, it's a lie. For he speaketh from his own nature. He is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God.
It sounds like, in this passage, it sounds like the words believe, hear, and understand are...
interchangeable. All the same.
Boy, in this time, these people that Christ was speaking with, talking to, preaching to, they didn't have the seed of Christ in them.
Well, don't worry about that. They didn't have to. All that's ever been required from the beginning of time is repentance.
I mean, I was just thinking that for us, it's different because...
It's the same thing. It's exactly the same. we'll get into that discussion later. I don't get in that one. I've been in that one with Larry Gary for 10 years. The sin offering always is at the door.
Always.
Always.
That's great.
That's okay. Great. Now let's go over to John 9. You can finish that. The rest of it's kind of neat stuff. But go over to John 9 now. We're just starting verse. I'm just going to read one verse. One verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now the night began at the day of the crucifixion. It's been night ever since.
The eighth day to the end of time. No?
Right. It's the eighth day. It's the night, you know, the night. The Jewish day begins at sunset. It's the night of the eighth day since the cross. That's why every generation thought it had the propensity to be the last day. Okay? Now, you got to hear this. The night cometh when no man can work. Up until this point, from all of history, from the beginning, from Adam through Tower of Babel, through Noah, through all of the processes, there was always the propensity that God's justice had to be maintained, so that there was always the propensity that by abandonment of self, that could have been translated and transformed before with Adam. Then with the law came, so that it was possible that by the law that, you know, at least God's justice had to be maintained. But now the night cometh when no man can work. Work towards what? Work towards his to establish righteousness. John 5, verse 17.
Wait, okay.
Okay, Jesus is in the pool of Bethesda, and when he healed the man on the Sabbath. You know, and just don't worry about that one right now. And they sought to slay him because he healed a guy on the Sabbath day. Okay, now in verse 17. Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Okay, now continue. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, the better translation, you mark this in your Bibles, is from himself. The Son can do nothing from himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. It'll take us an eternity to understand this, but it's just, Jesus knew the secret.
It's like casting down imaginations.
Yeah. He saw that all thoughts he had been brought into, not were going to be, had been brought into captivity to the obedience of God, because he was the Christ. As and John 5 says, as he is in the world, so are we.
I have trouble believing that.
I know you do. For the Father, and this is what you have trouble believing, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, the essence of this is the belief, first of all, it's the place of residence. Where is the residence of God's love? The residence of God's love is always and eternally in the Son, the only begotten Son. It's not in, as long as your identity is separate, as long as you've bought the lie of separation, God's love cannot be resident in you, because you haven't given credence to the resurrection of the Son. And the evidence is, and let's go to John. Now, the whole thing is great. All of this. In verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. I mean, that's pretty plain. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you understand that? He never ascribed separateness from the Father to himself. Therefore, he never sweated. He walked in the knowledge that he of his own self could do nothing. Therefore, he tore down by his mind the lie of separation.
It's like breaking language up, just
destroying it.
Just saying this, that my Father worketh, and I, because we have this, our idea of work, the word work to us means this, and then we see that by, you know, the results of it, that only, that our work isn't getting us righteousness.
Right.
It's like faving.
Right.
The word doesn't exist.
Okay. Now, let's go and get the final test of this, whether or not... And again, these scriptures are so that you would have comfort. Now, some of the words I say may not sound like they're comforting you, but they really are. Now listen. Verse 39, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to read it what it says, okay?
Still in 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you our targum. Let me tell you what it says. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Yeah. But you fools, and that's the any freshman Greek student would see the But you fools, they are they which testify only of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life.
It's like all these people looking in the scripture, and everything they say is like quoting scripture. Right. You know, it's like the biggest cliche of their whole life is just a cliche because it's, you know, based on words instead of not even have, say, you've never even read the scriptures, and there's mm-hmm. Christ that's your life, and it's... Yeah. It's like, you know, you see the scriptures and you say, hey, that's right.
But my point is, you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the finger pointing to Christ and you're worshiping the finger.
Right. So. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Like language is, which is our reality, it's a closed system.
It's a closed loop that can't be penetrated until the flesh is torn. And the closed system is the I motive. When you've lost the I motive, you've torn the flesh, and you live. Then abandonment is. This isn't. It's the natural course of things.
It's like it's still. I keep thinking of the hoisting by our own petard.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking here. We'll go down verse 46, and we said earlier that understand, believe, hear. You know, if you understood the law, you'd understand me. Because the law is me.
Yeah.
It seems...
There's a scripture that somebody you'll have to look up. But it says Jesus had just done something and these people came to him and said, Lord, what must we do to do the works of God? Mm-hmm. And he said, believe faith on him who he has sent. I mean, that's, and you faith on him who he has sent by the simple act of denying or abandoning your own self. And you don't have to then give self any more credence. You've picked up the cross when you finally see that from that moment forward it's impossible for you to ever think anything of your own. You pick up the cross when you see that from that you have never been independent of God. Because the life you have always lived in the flesh, you are living by the faith of the Son of God. Now, and you've been disobedient, but you've always been that the Father loveth the Son, that which was residing in you, therefore he cannot do any evil to you. He will chastise you, but he will never punish you. So abandon yourself, summary command. Pick up your cross, summary command. Follow me, the fruit of the summary command. But again, because of language, but it's intended to be that way, so it'll come against everything. We think, we hear the scriptures, I mean, abandon yourself, also mean, it says deny yourself. Deny yourself and abandon yourself mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. But we hear it as deny, meaning stop doing something. Mm-hmm. As I said, the end result of picking up the cross is not willlessness and passivity. The end result of picking up the cross is the absolution and forever goneness of doubt.
Amen.
Yeah, and never again having to take yourself seriously.
Yeah, I've never heard that before about following me is the fruit. It's not a command to follow me.
Yeah. I would have done this differently myself.
Oh, I would have too.
Christ would, first of all, he'd drive a really hip car.
928.
Did he play a Telecaster or something?
But can you see how it all ties together, that there is nothing? I don't care where we go in the scriptures, we'll see the same message.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, well, one of the things that happened to me, and I didn't even know it, that during that five-year period when I was alone and doing nothing but studying, is that the scriptures I ended up paying all the attention to and studying the most turned out to be on everybody else's ignore list.
Like Deuteronomy and Revelation?
Well, no, things like, you know, like the one here. Or it's funny how many, again, so many people have used verse 39 there as a commandment.
Mm-hmm. Read a lot.
Search the scriptures. John 5:39.
Yeah, they don't finish it out, yeah. Right?
Build a house for me.
Where's the house you built for me?
Yeah, where's the house you built for me?
61.5.
Really? It's amazing what you
do. I'm working on it. It's not done yet.
I'm still working on the footstool.
The cabinets won't close. I don't know.
But again, it's the process that as long as you are going about to establish your own righteousness, your own rightness, in any arena of your life, then you are, how can I say it? That proves that you're a Jew from God's standpoint. Anytime you're going around don't giving a damn about rightness, but are in the position of, you know, just playing, then you're a Gentile.
If you're religious, you're a Jew.
All religion, by definition, makes you a Jew. And the Jew goes about, he has a zeal for God, but not after knowledge. But do you see, I just want you to come to a position where you totally distrust words and language. And don't be surprised at the appointed time is when it takes place. It's not your business any longer.
It's like somehow these two go together. The purpose of the law is to shut up every mouth, and I believe, therefore I speak. And right. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just felt it was necessary to, this isn't what I was going to talk about tonight, but since we got into it, it was, I think, necessary to kind of close the loop.
Just chill.
Take it, big guy.